Coming up, so wake up the members of my nation. Get ready for spaghetti tacos and random dancing. It's iCarly, and this is Most Extreme Podcast.
Welcome to the Most Extreme Podcast, the so...
Let me do that again.
Let's do it one more time.
Welcome to the Most Extreme Podcast, the show where we discuss and analyze the enigma that is 2000s pop culture. Today, we are doing iCarly.
Yeah.
Yes.
I'm Brett, by the way.
And this is... Oh, sorry. And this is Brett. And I'm Alejandro.
Alejandro's here. Hi.
Sorry, really. This is only my second time doing the intro.
No, it's fine. We don't have to do it right every time.
Yes.
I think people like it when they're like, oh, they messed up for some reason.
Makes us seem human.
Yeah, we're humans. We're not robots doing the show. Jarrett isn't here for a bunch of different reasons, which brings me into Happy St. Patrick's Day, everybody. He is currently unavailable on this day, but he told us that ahead of time. But you doing okay?
Yeah. Okay. Despite the fact that it's St. Patrick's Day, I'm doing fine. I'm just kidding.
Everyone's been pinching me all day.
Yeah, I forgot to wear green and...
One day of the year that it's like, oh, shoot, I'm definitely not wearing green.
Especially, yeah, in the middle school, you get pinched or punched.
Did you do that just to flirt with people, or did you just do it because you're in middle school and you're like, ha?
I always forgot until I got pinched, and then I was like, oh, it must be that time of the year.
Yeah, it's not my favorite holiday. It's maybe not my least. I feel like Valentine's Day is a little bit worse, but that one, I don't know.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, let's introduce our guest because I don't want to know what she thinks about St. Patrick's Day. But
exactly.
Documentarian podcaster Doreen Gomez is here.
Ooh, thank you for having me.
Jack of all trades. What haven't you done? Because you do like music and you do like filmmaking.
I'm a woman of many traits. I wear too many hats. My head is about to fall
off.
Yeah,
I was going to say it's hitting the ceiling right now.
It's really like up there. Like my neck is just, you know.
Do you have any St. Patrick's Day feelings? This is coming out the next week, but.
Well, it's crazy because I actually thought it was yesterday.
That's how significant it is.
Yeah, I know. So significant. I got a message from one of my coworkers and he was like, oh.
Oh, and he barked at you?
Whoa, Dorian.
Excuse me. You're like, I'm so sorry.
Excuse me.
Yeah, and he was just like, hey, it's St. Patrick's Day.
Okay.
And, now I'm looking at my calendar. I'm like, no, it's not. How dare you?
I feel like, yeah, like definitely COVID has made time so relative that it's like, what's going on now?
An idea.
I even forgot Valentine's Day was a thing until people started posting about it.
Like, had a great Valentine's Day. You're like, that was yesterday. That was,
I missed it.
But yeah, thank you for coming on. And we are talking iCarly, as Alejandro said at the beginning of the show, which is a topic that you chose. Do you have sort of a personal history with the show?
So fun fact, I was actually, before I was like super into Nickelodeon, I was actually a PBS type of kid.
Me too.
Love PBS.
I didn't have cable for most of my life. Yeah.
But it wasn't until I got cable that I started watching iCarly and I'm like, this show is insane. I love it.
Yeah.
So,
so you grew up with like the Cyber Chase and
the Lions.
Yeah.
Ruffman?
Yeah, Fetch with Ruffman is one of my favorite shows.
So good.
Still to this day. Do you even know what we're talking about?
I honestly don't. I'm a little bit younger, so.
Oh, we grew up with that educational television. Yeah.
No, I was not a PBS kid. I was more PBS of a kid. Disney Channel kid with occasional Nickelodeon.
Okay.
Wow. Yeah.
No, Disney Channel was a little too fancy for me. So I was like, nah, this is the only channel that my cable provides. Nickelodeon and Nickelodeon Junior.
Nick Junior, yeah. So did you feel like this is a show that you just, like one of your favorites on Nickelodeon was iCarly, or was it?
Oh, definitely. Okay. I think it was definitely one of those shows that I was like, yeah. Like I would look forward to it. Like every time a new episode would come out, I'd be like, oh my God, I have to like either save it. I have to put an alarm for it. That way I don't miss it. And then you know how in the intros you get like a bit of a snippet of previous episodes. I was determined to watch every single episode of iCarly that I could like just be like, ha, I know where that scene is from.
Did you start it from the beginning?
I had to wait. I literally waited months to watch the very, very first episode of iCarly.
Till the reruns started.
It was when I still had cable, cable was still a thing.
Rest in peace. I mean, it's still around. Right? Yeah, the only time I was at like in a hotel and I'm like, skip. Yeah. Oh, these ads.
So many ads.
Why are there ads?
And so yeah, I had to wait like a while to actually get access to that very, very first episode until like Nickelodeon was like, watch the first episode of iCarly.
And you're like, oh.
Yeah, yeah. Gotcha. And then when the very, very special episodes would come out, I'd be like, oh my God, this is a special event. I gotta watch it.
Cancel my plans, family.
Dinner with y'all? Nope. No, forget about it.
Dad's birthday? I'm sorry.
Your anniversary? Like for your wedding? Sorry, that's not important. iCarly is on.
Do you have a history with the show, Alejandro?
Well, I started watching it, I think, probably in 2009.
Okay.
So it was like 2 years in. So I definitely started watching it and like did not know the lore or the history.
Right,
but
just middle of season three.
But middle season. Yeah. And then I don't think I reached the final episodes or the final season.
Those were very sad.
So you just like, I'll watch a little bit and then just forgot.
Yeah, I mean, it's
always
been like a little interesting, but I catched more episodes when it got released on Netflix. Not recently. They like put it on in like, it was like 2012, I think.
Right.
It was there for like a little bit. And it was only like, again, the first two seasons or something. So I watched those.
See, that's my history too. Because it was like way back when Netflix started streaming like on the Wii. Mm-hmm. Like you could
on
get
the Wii.
Yeah, you could get Netflix on the Wii. I know some people who still only use their Wii for Netflix.
I wish the Switch had.
Netflix, I know, right? The Switch doesn't have one. It has.
Like, y'all really are fumbling that bag.
I know, right? It seems like you should have that, and then HBO Max.
Did you have to do the thing for the Wii where they mailed you a DVD to install?
Yes. So you get a DVD that installs Netflix rather than going to the app store.
I only remember that for Blockbuster. No. I remember that for the early days of Netflix, where you'd be like, you'd go online and then you'd order like certain movies, and then they'll mail them to you like this, the DVDs.
Right. When they first started streaming, they were like, put this DVD in and then you can watch stuff, but it was a very limited stuff. But that's how I watched it, was iCarly. And like a bunch of other shows on there were like Ned's Declassified, and like Avatar, Last Airbender, which is like some of these shows are now just showing up on Netflix.
Right. But yeah, they're coming back.
Big Time Rush, Victorious, are other ones.
Yeah,
are, like,
for sure.
Really fun.
Do you have? How would you like rank? Would you say iCarly is like one of your favorites of all the Nickelodeon shows? Or
yeah, I mean, I think. Well, I think now it was now as I'm rewatching like iCarly because it's now on Netflix again.
Yeah.
I didn't realize how much I actually really loved the show because I knew I had I did watch Big Time Rush for like two times, like way after it was still on Nickelodeon, like actually with new episodes, along with Victorious, which as a kid that actually went to an art school, it was so not like real, like my expectations. I was so disappointed when I first went to like DSA. I'm like, this is not what it was gonna
I
be.
I would shout out again to Durham School of the Arts.
I went there too, and it was just
it was a letdown.
Like, not like, just musical numbers happening.
No, nope.
I like Victorious. It's just not my favorite show. It's interesting that you say that it's not, because like, when I watched Community and then I went to Durham Tech Community College, I was like, this is so accurate. The show has got Community College down. I think I was right. It came out. We'll get into the history in a second. But like when iCarly first came out, I think it was like in middle school-ish. So I was at the age where I was like, I don't watch that show. That show's lame. I watch mature show. Well, no, I don't.
What was mature for you?
I don't know. It was probably anime. I was like, I'm not watching that. And then, once it came on the Wii, I was like, this show's good.
I can't watch a show. I'm going to watch a cartoon.
I'm going to watch this cartoon.
That's manly.
Yeah, manly.
I think I was going to say just, I think also like shows with like female leads would be perceived as like girly shows, even if they weren't at all.
Right.
Yeah. Like Victorious is like, oh, it's a girl show, but it's not like really.
It's not really. No. And it's like, I think maybe that was their, you know, target demographic. Mm-hmm.
I'm surprised that Big Time Rush wasn't.
Yeah. Right. Because that one seems like it was made more for a female audience, but I don't
I actually have one of their CDs.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, nice. Yeah. Retro.
Not to give away your prize now, but here they are, ladies and gentlemen. They come out of the hallway. Should we talk about how it got made a little bit?
Yeah, okay. Sure. So this was a show that was created by Dan Schneider. And premiered in September 8th.
No, I was like, we were just texting about this today. I'm like, should we talk about this or not?
I mean, we have to.
I think we have to. I don't want to make it like dwell on it for too long. I don't want to like bring the mood down.
For those
too
who don't
much.
Know, Schneider has some history. I mean, I think everyone knows at this point.
Allegations.
History, allegations.
Yeah.
And
Google
predatory behavior.
And especially even some of the former iCarly stars have
talked about it. Yeah. Hey, you know what? Google it.
Yeah.
If you're listening to it, just Google it.
There's a lot of stuff.
Or YouTube it. There's a lot of content.
There's a lot of stuff.
Some stuff gets way too like rabbit holey, but just look it up on your own time.
So anyway, the first episode premiered on September 8th in 2007. And it is the fourth series, actually, created by Schneider, which the first three were Amanda Show, Drake and Josh, and Zoe 101. So
all classics.
Mm-hmm. All classics.
Before, did he create or did he work on Kenan and Kel and, like, all that? Like, way back in the
90s? I think he worked on it, but I don't think he created it.
Okay.
Because I think his first creations were with Nick, those were the shows that he created.
Gotcha.
And then, well, Miranda Cosgrove, as you guys know, was in Drake and Josh as, what was her name?
I forgot her name.
Megan. Fist to the air, Megan.
Basically Nick did want to give her own show, and Schneider was kind of scheming up ideas, but she always had she was always in mind to star in this show. And the original idea was very different. It was about a normal teenage girl who gets to star in her favorite TV show. And it was originally called Star Trek.
That's a terrible title. Star Trek. I would watch that.
Isn't that a Disney movie, too?
Star Trek?
Star Trek.
Yeah, yes. With...
Star Trek is a movie by Nicolin, but Star Trek.
we gotta do that.
Make that show right now.
Nick, come on.
Let's get copyrights for that.
So it like navigated the crazy world of TV and child stardom. But then Dan decided that it'd be a lot better if Carly had her own web show. And I think probably, you know, the influence of like YouTube and stuff started to like, you know, become relevant.
Around
so
this
they,
time, yeah.
So they wanted to sort of cash in on that. And then... the first draft followed the lead girl named Sam, and the URL for isam.com was taken. So Schneider bought the URL for
iJosie.com. iJosie sounds like a disease.
So he later changed it to iCarly during the production of Zoe 101.
Gotcha.
Which is much better than
iJosie. I feel like iJosie just makes me think of the times that my parents have told me what their backup names were for me. Like, yo, that is terrible.
Your name was going to be iJosie.
iJosie?
Not just Josie?
And so then the name of the leads were changed from Sam and Kira to Carly and Sam.
Gotcha.
Oh.
Yeah. And Schneider says that if isam.com wasn't taken, he probably would have named the show iSam, which I'm also not too fond of. It's not catchy.
That reminds me. Have you seen the movie Date Night with Steve Carell and Tina Fey?
I think so.
At one point, he tries to get into a very fancy restaurant by saying he's Will I Am, and he gets it wrong and says, I'm Sam I Am.
Okay, Dr. Seuss.
So
yeah, it also sounds like a Dr. Seuss line.
Right.
So when he was writing the show, the best friend character, who ended up being Sam, Schneider originally had Jeanette McCurdy in mind after seeing her in a guest episode of Zoe 101, which is also how kind of Nathan Kress was discovered.
Okay.
But this was for an episode of Drake and Josh.
I know he was in that.
Yeah, he was? Yeah, yeah, he was a guest star.
But he's so young.
He's so young. Yeah. And funny enough, I don't know if this was cut or if this was still in the episode, but he plays Toplin, a kid who has a crush on Megan.
That's so right. Cute X-Files theme.
I know. But either way, those scenes of them two together were cut before iCarly came out.
Gotcha.
To avoid confusion. So I think that's why many people don't remember him in it, I think.
I see.
And then Jerry Traynor, who plays Spencer, was tapped for the role of
Crazy Steve.
Yeah, from Crazy Steve. So, Drake and Josh. So that makes three cast members who were in Drake and Josh moved on to be the main cast of iCarly, which is interesting. Because I think that's like their most popular show, so they kind of wanted to bring in some of their talent from there.
Do you guys like Drake? We talked about it with our previously with our guest Luke Birchall. Do you guys like Drake and Josh?
I think there's a lot to unpack with Drake and Josh. I did enjoy it when I was younger.
Mm-hmm.
I think I was more fond of Josh than I was of Drake.
I
thought Drake was an asshole.
Yeah, right. No, for sure. No, I like Drake and Josh. This to me, honestly, because I've grown up such a Nickelodeon like hardcore fan that like. Yeah. Hearing all these allegations, Dan Schneider was like one of the most devastating things ever because it was like, oh, like as awful as he is, like he wrote some amazing shows that like really inspired me as a creative person. Right. And so like Drake and Josh, especially being one of them, that's like I can still put it on and be like, oh, wow, what a funny show. Mm-hmm. And I probably one of them. I feel like Ned's Declassified, which he was not involved with, might be my favorite. Which is instead of being like a three camera sitcom kind of style, it's a single camera sitcom about surviving middle school.
And it's he talks to the audience, right?
Right. In like a Malcolm in the Middle kind of way, where they like turns the camera. Or House of Cards. No, I'm not mentioning that either. Fleabag. Any show where they talk to the camera, yeah. Oh, I do have, real quick, I do have, from Dan Schneider's actual own personal YouTube account, I have their very first screen test where they are all maybe 11.
Yeah. Aww.
It's kind of adorable. It's in the same way, like if you watch the first Harry Potter movies and you're like, they're so young!
They're so small.
Yeah, the whole time. So, and then like you just watch them grow up. So
exactly. I always love when you're watching the first episode and they're all like little kids with their high voices.
Yeah.
And then the final episode, they're all like adults.
Carly.
Yeah. There's actually, isn't there an episode in iCarly that like you actually really notice when Nathan Kress's voice just like gets deeper?
It's
and you're like,
first,
what's up with the voice?
Yeah, it's the first episode of the second season.
Yeah. Because
they have that break in between. And Sam says something like, hey, why is your voice deeper? And he goes, I don't know, puberty, and walks right by. That's it. Like, because they're probably like, we got to find a way to do this.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, I kind of want to talk a little bit about, as we were talking about, the show is talking about the internet culture of 2007, especially like early YouTube, where it was sort of like anybody can just put something on and you can get famous. And I feel like in general, I know you talk about Disney being a little bit more upscale. I've always thought that Nickelodeon was always had the more edgy kind of side.
Definitely.
Than Disney. So like, I mean, literally, like I watched the pilot of iCarly because now it's on Netflix, and the whole show is like the show iCarly starts because they accidentally filmed themselves making fun of their teacher's boobs.
Yeah.
And it's like, that is something that would never happen on Disney Channel.
No. I don't even know if it would happen on Nick now.
Like, who approved this?
Yeah, good point. Yeah, I mean, in Drake and Josh, she calls her brother's boobs, like, as a joke. And there's more, like, I guess, like, more romantic stuff. And there's definitely, like, the classic gross-out humor that's in a lot of Nickelodeon. Yeah. That's just, like, Disney Channel is a lot more like, I'm in a relationship, and that's it. Good night, everybody. So, yeah, I mean, the first episode, there was a point where a guy snorts a glass of milk and then shoots it out of his eye.
Oh, yeah, I remember
that.
That
was kind of gross.
Yeah, that was like, this is straight up like an episode of like Jackass or something. Where you're like, this is so gross. But yeah, this truly felt to me, iCarly was the final time Nickelodeon was like a network for kids.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, have you guys watched any shows now on Nickelodeon?
Not at all.
I could not name anyone.
I don't know any, but from what I've vicariously seen, it doesn't seem to have that same like edginess. I saw it might have been ABC News or something where they did a like behind the scenes thing of iCarly where Dan Schneider, sigh again, he was talking about like, well, we made a show not specifically for kids but for families, like that was our demographic, so that everybody could laugh, not just kids. And I think that is something that really holds up, especially like when watching these shows.
Yeah, it like allows you to go back as a slightly older person and be like, okay, this is
more of these
cringe
jokes. Also, these are like PG-13 plus
right,
kind
yeah,
of jokes.
Yeah,
yeah.
The acting, yeah, I think the acting in iCarly is super, like, charming and everything, but, like, you were saying earlier, like, the transitions between scenes has got that very early, like, you know, like, they might, like, a YouTube where, like, scroll through the video, or, like, it, like, zooms out, and you see all the other videos,
Click
which are, like,
into a different
scenes.
Tab type of scene.
Right, yeah. And it looks like it's, like, an old, like, Windows XP computer. Oh, I love it. But, yeah, the fact that it's a TV show about internet culture, and it's pretty much kind of happening in sync of what's going on
at the time.
Right, that feels like you couldn't do that today because it's like internet culture moves so quickly that the minute it comes out, like, it's already out of date.
Oh yeah.
So like I went to the theater the other day, mask on everybody. Silver,
you went to
the
theater? What is that?
What's a movie theater?
No, I went to an opera. And then we were watching all these trailers, and like all the jokes in these trailers were like already out of date. Like all these like okay boomer and stuff.
Oh, no.
It was like, oh man.
Cringe.
This is just cringy. This is not funny. Yeah. And it's like you like any internet trend joke is just not gonna work. It's just gonna come out of date, so
I can't imagine making like a show about like a TikTok star,
right?
Like iCarly style, because I feel like it's gonna go out.
It's gonna go out, by the time
soon.
Like season two is out. It's like, oh, you don't want to be on TikTok anymore.
Yeah,
which actually makes me super curious as like Paramount is about to like release a rerun, because I'm like, how are they gonna?
Do an iCarly reboot, right?
Exactly.
Yeah. What are they going to talk about? For a while, Disney Plus, they already canceled it, but they were going to do a Lizzie McGuire reboot about her being like in her 30s.
Mm-hmm.
And then they canceled it because I think it was a little too mature, because it was like, we don't want to do a show about being in your 30s problems. And it's like, but that sounds great.
Right.
Yeah. So. It's like kind of like the first show was like about becoming like a teenager, I think,
right? Yeah.
So like the second is like more like adult, becoming like an adult.
Like the audience has grown.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So I think it looked really interesting.
Right.
I don't know if they released the pilot script. I think it got leaked.
For Lizzie McGuire on Disney Plus?
So.
Maybe.
Or something about that.
They shot it. They shot at least like a couple episodes.
Yeah, they did shot everything. Wow.
But I mean, like, there's even stuff like iCarly, like online games, which were huge, like Flash games were big. And on just like filming yourself with a bunch of your friends, and it's not you in like a Jake Paul type of situation where it's like you all live together and you're rich.
Right.
And it feels very like of that time. Even things like random dancing that shows up on the show feels super like a kid made that up, you know?
I always wanted that remote that Sam always like has. Yeah. And it's so funny because even as I'm rewatching all of these episodes, even like towards the credits portion, it's like, oh, go to iCarly.com, go to iCarly.com.
Right.
And I used to go to iCarly.com and like do all these fun games. And then at some point, I think I still own like the Nintendo DS game.
Oh, really?
iCarly.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
What
I'm
is that
super
like?
Super committed. There's a lot of foot stuff.
Like, okay.
Yeah.
Which more
is
foot
too
stuff.
In brand for...
Yeah, Dan Schneider
know.
Stuff. Yeah.
Yeah.
I was like, it's not like a fighting game or something.
No.
It's like
no.
Mortal Kombat, but with random dancing involved. No. It's interesting also that it is a web show that's happening at the time. Mm-hmm. And it feels like it has a lot more substance to like current YouTube shows, which most of them are just like 20 minutes, and most of it's like, hey guys, so I just woke up and I think I'm just gonna hang out today.
It's just a vlog.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Like vlogging has sort of changed everything from like a web show.
Yeah, especially with the like Viner invasion, a bunch of them just started either making vlogs or like comedy sketches that were like really like low effort stuff.
Yeah, and it wasn't just like some guy in a camera, just a kid trying to do it. But it's interesting how the Schmutz show, it's interesting how much iCarly has predicted, especially like the whole, like iCarly is their own website and they're basically shooting a live show, like it's like Twitch.
Right.
And also just, like, kids being famous on from being internet celebrities. Like watching the web show within the show of, like, that kinetic energy of, like, hey, I'm Carly, I'm Sam. They go back and forth, and Freddie's filming both of them back and forth. It's, like, I don't know. It's more to it, and it doesn't feel as fake, even though it's a show. Like, it's acting. Even things like the I Fight Shelby Marks episode, where it's two YouTubers who stage a boxing match in order to get more branding and more views. It's like, how much stuff do they predict right?
Even like stan culture.
Right, exactly.
Mindy,
Yeah, with, oh man. I don't know, what to you makes it unique, Dorian?
I think one of the things that always stood out to me from the show is how much they actually bring in things that from like the real world, you know.
Sure.
Like we have the Pairphone, right?
Which
I always wanted. I always
wanted a Pairpod.
Pairphone. Yeah. There's an episode where I forget the guy's name, but he's like this cook, and I really feel like they were trying to hint at Tebow? Guy Fieri. No.
Oh, from this movie. Okay.
Like a guest.
Yeah. Where they're doing like the competition, like the cooking competition with like the spaghetti tacos, which by the way, I've always wanted to try one.
Yes. New York Times did a whole article about the spaghetti taco.
No way.
Yeah. Seriously? And there's like a few people have been trying to replicate it. There's like Binging with Babish, which is a YouTube cooking show. He's like tried to make it several times.
Yeah.
Jerry Trainer, who we'll get to in a second, did a whole thing for Cameo about like how to make it during quarantine.
My gosh.
Yeah. But continue. Yeah.
Yeah. And I think there's just, kind of like how you mentioned, there's like super small hints of, almost like borderline predicting what the future is kind of going to look like, even though it felt, even when I was watching it, I'd be like, oh my God, I always kind of want to be like Carly, right?
Sure.
Just like this internet persona, and then just being like, nah, maybe not. just felt like so unattainable, I guess, for the time. And then looking back now, I'm like, oh, there's a lot of kids that are doing things super similar to this.
Even younger than they are.
There's like that kid that does like toys reviews,
right? He's like a billionaire. Thanks for coming on the show, buddy. Next week. I think it's cool because iCarly is sort of a show about kids coming together to make something that's their own, and that makes it feel really special, especially because they weren't chasing fame.
Totally.
Especially because in the pilot, like, I think Sam says something like, you're going to get famous from doing this. And Carly's like, I don't think I want that. And dang. But then, of course, they see some guys at the party. They're like, hey, I saw your show.
They're
all 13. So it's more like, hey, I saw your show. And they're like, actually, I like this.
Yeah. And I think it's super special to just see kids of that age just like being portrayed as just doing like what they want creatively.
Right. Yeah.
I think, especially now, a lot of content you see a lot of, content creators creating just to make money.
Mm-hmm.
And it really felt super authentic for this show to just portray it as like, no, like I just want to make really fun stuff and just do weird ass things.
Yeah, exactly. it's also cool, 'cause it's like, iCarly, like the show within the show, even if it gets sidelined from time to time, especially like later on in the show, but like normally the show and like their personal lives will be intertwined rather than like, oh, we did it for the first season, but now we got to focus on who we're dating, which happens a lot with to yes. me on Disney Channel shows.
Definitely.
Where it's like, now that we're no longer cute kids, we're going to yes. be more about like what it's like to date in high school. And that's the only thing we talk about on this show. But
no, and even, and I think even when like exploring the concept of love, which by the way, like it, I was in probably middle school, almost high school, and mm-hmm. I was still watching iCarly. It was really refreshing to see that it wasn't this like, oh my gosh, because in middle school, like mm-hmm. you go and you're like, oh my god, who do I have
right, a crush
on?
Everyone, blah, blah, blah. Who's
mm-hmm. who do you like?
Who's that's everybody like?
Yeah. Exactly, and then just being able to see the way that they also navigate, like especially this like situationship with. Mm-hmm. Sam and
right
and Freddie.
It's a weird love triangle. Yeah.
It's a yeah. very weird love triangle, and then just being like, no, like we just wanted to be each other's first kiss, which it mm-hmm. it's true. There, I feel like even looking back into middle school, would be like, oh, did you already have your first kiss? Blah, blah, yeah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. You know. But even with the dynamic with Freddie and Carly, you know,
right.
Where Freddie was like very mature for his age. I'm like, right. yo,
yeah. even when at the first season when he's super young. Yeah.
yeah.
Hey, if you have a first kiss story, tell us. Email us at the Most Extreme Podcast. Tell us the whole thing in extreme detail. Yeah, I think it's also interesting. I get the vibe that they're all friends off camera. Right. I don't have any proof of that, but it does seem like the main three are friends off yeah. of camera. And that kind of comes into the performances because it's like when they're just like. You know, Sam or Freddie walks in the door. It just seems like, yep, this seems like they're friends and they would mm-hmm. do that. Right. But I think there's also, like, some really cool, like, concepts that they do with iCarly. I mean, even the love triangle itself is so unique to that show. I don't mm-hmm. really know many kid shows that have that. But, I mean, there's an episode, like, I, April Fools, which is a fake flashback episode where it's, like, they go, like, remember that one time this thing happened? And then it cuts to, like, something that you've never seen before.
yeah.
Which they've done that on other shows, but...
It's like an interesting way to do a what is it called, like the recap episode, but without doing
right.
it.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
And Jerry Traynor actually directed that one himself, which is
That's
really interesting.
Awesome.
There's stuff like the I Go to Japan special.
Oh my gosh.
Which is so good.
Literally, I had an alarm. Like as I mentioned in the beginning, mm-hmm. like I would literally put alarms just so that I wouldn't miss those specific episodes because I'd be like,
right.
There is like I know that there's. It's going to be shown again probably next week, but I cannot wait till next
right.
week.
Right. Yeah. There's a few of those.
Was I Go to Japan like a movie too?
Mm.
Was that?
It was a TV movie. So it was like a TV
movie.
It was
a long. Right? Yeah. It was a pretty long
right, okay.
episode.
Right. Which they don't go to Japan, by the way. yeah. Jerry Traynor actually was on Late Night with Jimmy Fallon before he did The Tonight Show. And he was talking about how they made it. And so they were like, guys, you're going to Japan. He's like, yes. And then they just put a bunch of trees in the parking lot, and they were like, wow, we're in Japan. My favorite episode is when, it's a Wonderful Life situation where Carly, like, dreams like she'd never been
yeah.
born, and it's like, what would have happened to yeah. everybody if they didn't do it? So, like, that type of stuff is, like, super cool that, like, any kid show would go mm-hmm. that, like, unique in an episode, but.
And it, like, doesn't really have to do with the generic. Plot of like
no yeah them. It's just like yeah. let's explore these like interesting uh-huh. ideas. My favorite episode is one called I Pie from season 2, which technically is like they have this Italian pie bakery.
Oh my gosh,
do you remember this one?
I remember
this
that
one is really funny. I rewatched it
it's
today
kinda messed up.
It's kind of messed up. Well, no, well the funny thing is that the guy who like they meet who works at the store is like the most like over dramatic version of like an Italian characteristic. He's like, hey, my name is Mario. It's like this is bad.
Yeah.
But yeah, so essentially like the owner of the pie shop dies. And, like, he has his, like, recipes, like, in, like, a computer or something. Mm-hmm. And so, like, they go to his memorial service in order to get the recipes for his pies because they like them. So it feels like a Seinfeld or, like, It's Always Sunny
right.
kind of, like, episode rather than, like, a kid's show out of Nickelodeon,
yeah.
which is, like, this is good writing. I like it. It's funny.
Yeah.
What's even crazier is that when he meant it's in my computer... He wasn't kidding.
Yeah.
Like, it was literally
inside
of the
yeah.
computer.
So, yeah, it's so funny that they're, like, doesn't, like, I think to, like, distract everybody from, like, stealing the computer, like, they have Spencer go up
yeah.
and, like, give a speech Oh, it's so
and
funny.
And then Carly started singing.
Like, yeah, she sings Amazing Grace. Oh, man. I love it. Should we talk about the cast a little
Let's
bit?
Let's talk about it.
Let's do it.
Let's talk about it. That's another YouTube show, Good Mythical Morning.
Ooh.
Did that start around this time, or did that come a lot later, Rhett and Link?
No, I think that was after.
I didn't watch them very much. I was more of a Niga Higa type of kid, you know?
Yeah, for sure. That's definitely like one of those accounts that definitely started around this time.
Yeah.
Well, okay, so first off, let's start with, Carly. So Miranda Cosgrove. My personal take is I don't think she's as good in this show as she is in Drake and Josh.
Mm. Oh.
Where I guess I can get, because in Drake and Josh, she gets to play the evil, like, you know, younger sister, and she gets to do so much more stuff, and that the parents don't believe her, so she's just way cute, but actually maniacal.
Right.
And in this show, she's more the stock character, just like the straight person, and so she doesn't get to do as much funny stuff, but that's just my opinion. I don't know.
Yeah, it's a complete parallel. I think, like you mentioned in Drake and Josh, she's more like, mwahaha, I'm going to. Put you through hell.
Right.
And then with just iCarly, I think that role was given more to Sam.
Right.
You know?
Definitely.
To just be kind of like the troublemaker.
Right. Yeah. Which I feel like that's the reason the show works is Sam. Right. Because
Sam is the more interesting character.
Sam is the crazy one, but it's also... It's realistic enough because I know enough people like in my own middle school who were just like aggressive / lazy / hungry all the time.
Yes.
But also like your best friend. And it was just like, I know a Sam. Like, so that's why I love that character so much. And it's so funny because that's such a unique thing to this show is like there's not many shows that have a sidekick like Sam that I can think of. It's normally like the nerd, which is, I guess, in the Freddy's or like the dorky one, which is Gibby or something. Yeah. So. Yeah. I like how Miranda Cosgrove sings the theme song, though.
Yeah. It's kind of like in Drake and Josh with her.
Right. And Drake Bell actually sings the theme song as well, like, back up.
Seriously?
Yeah.
Oh, that's who that is.
Yeah, he's the background singer. Yeah.
I was thinking if that was Nathan Kress, but I don't think he sings.
No, they didn't pull, like, That's So Raven, which we talked about, like, all of them sing the theme song in different parts, but...
Freddie only dances... And that's in the tap dance. It's so bad. I think they actually hired a stunt double to do the tap dance.
Oh, wow.
It was so bad too. Like, why would you spend part of your budget on a stunt double for like this terrible scene? I'm so sorry no shade to you, but
yeah, sorry,
why?
Nathan.
Sorry, dude.
If you're listening. Yeah, because I don't know if you guys have seen recently on the news, but Jeanette McCurdy has talked a lot about retiring from acting and sort of her experiences as a child actor or actress, excuse me. And she's been talking. I really respect her for coming and saying that stuff and being really honest about her experiences. And basically, a lot of her points are just like, I don't think people should be allowed to have their kids be actors.
Yeah,
because it's the amount of trauma and mental capacity that you have to do it is like. Really impossible at that young of an age
because it's also a job, like,
definitely
it's work.
It makes it, I think, as I've rewatched the episodes that are now on Netflix, and just doing research in general, just watching kind of like the history of why Jeanette McCurdy was even brought into the show. It's kind of sad because she talks about how she was pretty much like the breadwinner of her family.
Right. Yeah.
And that's kind of the main reason of why she got into acting in the first place, which as a creative, it's really sad because you're you're having to do this not because you want to, but because you have to.
Yeah. It's sort of a honey boy situation with Shia LaBeouf.
Oh, definitely.
But I think she's super smart and it's weird also watching the show, knowing the behind the scenes of how it was and just dealing with like, you know, anorexia and eating disorders and other stuff that it's like no child has to go through this. But it's also, I mean, the ratio of people who make it out as a child actor with any sanity is very small.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Excuse me.
I think it's something tragic that also like the media and everything loves.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Failed former child actor. Get pictures of them at their lowest.
Oh,
you know,
my gosh,
Britney
yeah.
Spears was another example. Her mm-hmm. sister, too.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Moving on from that, so we don't dwell too long. Nathan Kress, I think, when he's really young, like at the very beginning of the show, is maybe my favorite part of the whole thing. Because he's so young and like yeah. adorable as the dorky nerd. Mm-hmm. I was literally like by myself watching, just like screaming, chanting, like, Nathan Kress! Nathan Kress! Oh, he's so good. But he later becomes less of the dorky nerd and more of like the love interest straight mm-hmm. man type character.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think they probably give that role more to Gibby to be like
right, the funny one.
Crazy funny yeah. one.
Right.
I just kind of want to know, like, just dear writers, if you're listening.
Yeah,
to
if you're listening, dearest writers of iCarly.
What is all the random, like, what is the whole, like, all random Spanish words here yeah. and there from Nathan Kress?
Right,
like,
yeah,
what is
right?
that about?
They were like, you know what? Benson, yeah, that's yeah, a yeah. yeah. I think yeah. he should speak Spanish. Like,
very what? Hispanic.
For a
name.
Second, I actually thought, I'm like, oh my god, Hispanic king.
Yeah, good question. I don't know, but yeah. I think it's funny how he deals with his mom. I think that's oh, where it's funny, yeah. where she's like so overprotective. Oh yeah. man, which
so
goes into
big germaphobe.
Yeah. Oh yeah, which yes. goes into the Japan one.
Yeah.
Where like the climax, like the Deus Ex Machina of the whole thing is that like, sorry, Freddy's mom put a like tracking device in his brain.
Yeah, it's kind of messed up.
And so like they get sidetracked in like opposite parts of Japan. They're able to find him because of that.
I know a couple of parents like that.
Yeah.
that would, if they oh, could, Alejandro. They would. Oh my yeah. God.
Dude, your head's beeping. and then I want to talk about, of course, Spencer, who...
Oh my
definitely
gosh.
When watching the Overos is maybe as an adult is the funniest part of the whole show.
Literally, truly one of my favorite characters of all time.
In fiction.
In fiction. Like.
Everyone wants a brother
Spencer
like Spencer.
Shea, my favorite character in fiction. yeah, he's my favorite. It's kind of they sort of deal with it like this sort of like in always, It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia. They deal with the whole thing of like, what if you actually hung out with the same group of people your entire life?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You would go crazy. And it's sort of the same thing here where it's like, what if you only hung out with teenagers? Nobody else.
Yeah.
Well, wouldn't you be like really weird? But I think his art is pretty rad.
Oh, yeah. I think my biggest question is like, why is he single throughout majority of the show? Like,
right.
No way. There's that hunk over there.
Yeah.
No, I don't think so.
With that cool of an apartment.
Exactly. Yeah. Also, who pays that apartment?
Yeah,
like, how is he affording
it? I guess they have
it?
In rabbit bunny ears military money.
That's
military
yeah, that's money.
But
that
also seems like a three-story apartment with an elevator in Seattle. I don't think the military can afford that.
Yeah.
But he makes some cool art. I mean, if we're talking like dream sets, because we talk like the Drake and Josh, like their bedroom's so awesome, or like Sweet Life and Zach and Cody. Well, they gotta
right.
be sick. But I feel like that apartment is like, dude. That would be awesome to have all that, like, that robot made out of, like, plastic bottles.
Hell yeah. Mm-hmm.
He would fit right in at, shout out to the Scrap Exchange in Durham.
Hell yeah.
A place where you can make art out of junk.
You know, one of my favorites was definitely, it was more towards the very end, but I think it was Spencer that redid Carly's whole entire room.
I think
like
that's right, yeah.
It was like a gummy bear chandelier.
Oh,
and at
yeah.
some point, they had a giveaway. Dude, the way that I spent so much time just like trying to do my best
that's
to get
not
that
your prize,
gummy
by the way.
Oh, damn it.
Okay. There was a video going around that was pretty popular. It was essentially Spencer getting mad at people for coming into his apartment uninvited.
Oh.
Which it was sort of a compilation of every time that happens, which happens a lot on the show, which I just didn't notice, I guess, as a kid.
Yeah.
Where they'll just like run into his house without knocking or anything. It'll be like, you don't live here. Like the amount of times or like Carly be like, Spencer, Sam and Freddie are coming. It's like, well, when don't they live here? You know, it's so funny. Or also, okay, the character of Socko is one of my favorites. The character you never see, but they always mention.
Also yeah. Tyler at some point.
Right. But I think Socko is his friend who gives him the cool socks, right?
They
like
are
the light
pretty
up
cool
song.
Socks, yeah.
Yeah, I think, man, I really feel like Jerry Traynor is the highlight of the show. Maybe especially as an adult. I really like watching it. Weird fun fact I did figure out is that Jerry Traynor is in a band. He plays bass for a band called Nice Enough People with Allison Scalettoni, which I'm probably saying that wrong, who played Josh's on and off girlfriend, Mindy, in Drake and Josh.
Wow.
She's a guitarist. He's the bassist. They're in a band called Nice Enough People. Check them out. They're actually pretty good.
Are they on Spotify?
They're on Spotify.
Hell yeah.
There's a song called like Girls with Fedoras or something like that.
I love
really
it.
Good.
I love
so,
it.
They're pretty much everything you would think of like kid actor, like Nickelodeon starting a punk band. Oh, man.
Nice.
Oh, that's awesome.
Okay, really going off the cast real quick, Gibby. Who's in the show from the very beginning of the show. It's not like somebody they like brought in. You know how like sitcoms will be like, we need something to spice it up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like Gibby's in from the very first season and he's just as young as the rest of them. But it definitely kind of fills in the romantic relationships and comes in with jokes. It becomes, I don't know, when the relationship part becomes stronger as part of the show, he becomes like the comedy of
definitely.
It.
Yeah. He's definitely brought in too as an extra leg for the show later on.
Also Gibby's siblings.
Right.
Yeah.
Who are played by his actual siblings, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So that's kind of fun. What's his brother's name? Like Guppy or something?
I thought it was Jibby.
One of those. Now, most iCarly fans are aware of the show Sam and Cat, which was the spinoff of this, and Victorious.
Yeah.
But did you know that there was actually a second spinoff just called Gibby? That was going to be made. Yes.
Yeah.
It was greenlit by Nickelodeon at the same time as Sam Cat, and we were almost given two different shows that were spinoffs, but they did not follow through with Gibby.
Wow, yeah. I hate it here. I feel like it would have been so great to see a show, like a spinoff show,
right,
with Gibby,
yeah,
right, with T-Bone. With Spencer Shea for sure.
Yes.
And
just the craziest parts of iCarly.
Truly. Just like the most chaotic show. And then what's the doorman?
Looper. Yeah, oh, he's my gosh. Gross. Oh,
so
man.
So disgusting.
Yeah.
But I would have loved to see a show with those four.
Yeah. Oh, for sure. All of them team up.
They get superpowers.
I have a couple really quick fun facts. So the one thing that blew my mind is the school set is the same set used from Saved by the Bell.
What?
Now, if you have listened to our That's So Raven episode, you also know that that was also the same set from Saved by the Bell. So this set has been used so many times, and it's all the same school. So
I would have never noticed.
Connected universe, just saying.
It's a conspiracy
X-Files theme. You know how like they did that crossover? They did crossover this with it's like I Party with Victorious.
Right.
Yes.
And then like they did the That's So Sweet Life of Hannah Montana on Disney Channel.
Yes.
Where they mixed those three. So let's combine all of them together.
Hell yeah. Now that you're talking about the school, mm-hmm. I remember that one episode with the lockers, like they're winning. I forget the number of the locker, and I dreamed about having like a locker like that. They had a freaking Guitar Hero on there.
That's so awesome. So I do have one very, very interesting fan theory about the whole show that I figured out today while doing research. So the very interesting fan theory is, so we have Freddie Benson is his name, right? And Mrs.
Right.
Benson, who is a germaphobe who we never really learned his father, right?
Yeah, I've always wondered about
what's his name, right? So the theory is we never learn who his father is. If you know the resemblance between the character Barry B. Benson from B Movie and the person, the human he falls in love with.
No.
And let's look one more time at what Nathan Kress looks like.
Stop.
So the fan theory is that Barry B. Benson, Jerry Seinfeld's B character from B Movie, the offspring of him and his mother is Freddie Benson.
Coincidence, folks? I think not.
This was even tweeted about by Nathan Kress himself and said, fan theory is confirmed.
Oh my God.
So we're talking about connected universes, B Movie and iCarly. Seem to be in the same.
What a legend. I've also heard of the fan theory of
what was the character's name? Crazy Steve, Jerry Trainor's.
Oh, right.
Yeah. So it's like Crazy Steve kidnapped Megan.
Yeah.
And erased her mind and told her name was Carly, and they just moved to Seattle.
That kind of didn't that happen in one of the episodes though, like with Drake Bell happened yes. to be in one of the episodes, and he's like, was
very briefly at one point
as himself
he walks in yeah. and goes, "Hey Megan," and they all go, "Who are you?" And he's like, gosh. "Wait, where's Josh?" And then like she's confused and walks right out.
Yeah, talk about connected universes. Yeah, the Avengers Endgame walked so that yes. just could fly.
Well, that kind of brings me to my point. The amount of for a Nickelodeon show, which this is probably their most popular sitcom they've ever done.
I believe so.
Yeah.
The amount of guest stars that are on this show alone.
Oh my gosh,
it's crazy.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I have a list of most of them.
Please.
Kenan Thompson yeah. kind of, you know, started out as a Nickelodeon star and right. has now been on SNL and will never leave.
Will never leave.
He will be there for eternity. David Archuleta, do you remember this episode?
Yes.
Okay. So for those who don't know, David Archuleta was somebody who lost on American Idol, who then went on to, it's kind of the thing of like on an American Idol where you, like the person who loses gets more famous than the person
yeah.
who won. But yeah, it was a season, it was David Cook who got one, David Archuleta won second. But yeah, they kind of make fun of American Idol in that episode.
As they should have.
I remember a lot of girls in my school were in love with David Archuleta for a little bit.
He's a good-looking guy.
Good-looking guy. David, if you're listening, we are complimenting your looks.
Email us.
Email us all your stories. Randall Park shows up at one point.
Jimmy Woo.
Yeah, Jimmy. WandaVision
That's
fans.
Right. Now that you're mentioning that,
yeah,
I remember one of the episodes where he just kind of pops up in one of the classrooms, right?
Yeah.
It's an episode called I Got Detention where they're trying to film the 50th episode of iCarly in detention, but it's sort of like an office space thing where like every time they try to get detention, it just makes the situation better.
Right.
So like they pull the fire alarm and they're like, "Hey, who pulled that fire alarm?" They're like, "I did. Did I get detention?" They're like, "Thank God you did, because there's a fire in the teacher's lounge." And so Randall Parker's one of the teachers who just like keeps making the situation better. Oh, man. So that was one of his earlier acting roles where you're like, wait, what? He shows up. It's sort of like we were talking Tiffany Haddish, one of her first roles ever was on That's a Raven.
Yeah.
As a tour guide. And it's just like, oh, wait, what? She only has like maybe 5 seconds of screen time, but you're like, that's her in the background right there.
That's so funny.
Jack Black shows up
at
one point. My favorite actor of all time. No
so
joke.
Good.
He's so good in it. It's part of like some like Comic-Con thing that you go to. Jim Parsons shows up at one point.
I do not remember him.
So to get into this one a little bit, it's at one point where they're trying to visit Sam. I think they're at like a mental hospital or something.
Oh.
And Jim Parsons plays like somebody who's in there and kept messing with Gibby the whole time.
Why is that so fitting?
Yeah. So he's basically kind of playing Sheldon, but like a really weird version of Sheldon. So the funny part is, talking about predictions of iCarly, is that he says, he shows up in the mental institution and he keeps coming up to Gibby and he keeps saying like, "You need to help me. I need to get back to the future." And he's like, "Where are you from?" He's like, "I'm from the year 2077. And you need to help me because your nose is about to like be broken any second." And then he like turns around and breaks Gibby's nose. He's like, "Whoa, how did you know that was going to happen?" For those who haven't played Cyberpunk 2077, one of the games starts out with you with a broken nose.
Oh.
And so everyone's like, "Did iCarly just predict Cyberpunk 2077?
That's wild.
Another connected universe.
So we have B movie,
Cyberpunk.
Cyberpunk and iCarly are all in the same.
Definitely.
Multiverse queen.
That's right. The Plain White Tees show up in an episode and perform.
I forget what song that was.
I don't remember. Not my favorite band, but. This is a side note. I was shooting when we were working on the filmmaking summer camp I was working at. Yeah. There was a joke that all the cast was doing, which was to like basically ASMR say the lyrics of Hey There Delilah into the mic. So whoever was running the boom would be like, ah, stop it. So it would just be like, Hey There Delilah, how's it like in New York City? Like as deep and scary as possible, because the lyrics, when saying them out loud, it's like, ugh.
That is kind of a creepy song, yeah.
There's Jimmy Fallon shows up.
At what point?
There is an episode where they go on Jimmy Fallon. And the Roots show up. Tina Fey is in that episode. Yeah. And there's like SNL in power. Yeah, a lot of SNL power, because that Taron Killam shows up at one point.
Right.
In the episode with Michelle Obama. He plays one of the like security guards, so Secret Service.
Taron Killam is also in everything.
Yeah, no, he was in like Big Fat Liar.
He was in a Stuck in the Suburbs movie.
Yeah, with Brenda Song. Was it?
I forgot her name. Yeah, but she's also
in Sky High. Yeah, Jane Lynch shows up as Sam's mom. Is that right?
I think so.
Yeah. Of course, yeah, Victoria Justice shows up. Leon Thomas III from Victorious as well. A lot of Victorious people show up as also, in their characters. Yeah.
Also, Fred.
We've got to talk about this. I think at one point we were talking about, let's do an episode about Fred. And we were like, no, we're never doing that because everyone hates Fred so much now.
Let's do an episode of Fred with the Fred voice the whole time.
Oh, gosh.
An hour. Oh, man. They already have 3 movies of Fred. We don't need that
much. Which is.
I forgot about those. I remember watching them and getting like. Going to Blockbuster.
My dad really liked Fred. I don't know why. Wow, my dad was really into Fred. But people forget how big. Like, Fred was huge.
He was most subscribed person on YouTube point, for a while.
Wow. Yeah. But I think people don't remember, like, when the Fred crossover with iCarly happened, it was like, what? A YouTuber is on a TV? What? That's impossible. I never thought it would happen. It was huge. I remember everyone talking about it at school. And it's weird because the whole bit is that Freddie doesn't think Fred is funny.
Yeah.
He's like, I don't think it's funny, man. And then like they basically like make him think it's funny. I don't know. But that was one of the biggest crossovers. And then that's what eventually got Fred. Did he have his own sitcom at one point?
I don't think so. No. Okay. I remember the movies though.
Yeah. And that's so in a way, iCarly is responsible for the rise and
the rise and fall
of everything Fred related. So we all agree that Fred is out of the question.
Definitely.
Oh, yeah. And the other big one is Emily Ratajkowski shows up as Gibby's girlfriend.
Oh.
Yeah, before she did, like, Gone Girl and all this other stuff. Yeah. So can we put Gone Girl into the connected universe of iCarly?
Gone Girl.
And Cyberpunk and Fred.
Gibby did always get, like...
He got the models.
He got the models.
Yeah.
I'm like, wow, he has
It's just
game.
All that confidence.
That confidence, like.
Yeah.
And just taking off his shirt.
Body
as a
positivity
joke.
Body,
yeah, I love it. Those are all. Oh, One Direction shows up at one point.
Wow.
That's right. I forgot about that.
Yeah, back when they were very spiky hair.
Yes.
And very skinny. Yeah. So, I mean, there's like some, like, the big time Russia guys show up at some point in characters. Yeah. I think it's like the same thing like in Suite Life of Zack and Cody. Like Zac Efron shows up, but he's not Troy from High School Musical. He's probably like a random guy.
At some point he. So they were. I remember like in not in Suite Life. Yeah, Suite Life of Zack and Cody. Uh-huh. They were doing this episode with like, oh, let's do High School Musical for our theater class, and I think he played.
Oh, Zac really?
Efron, I think played.
Because
Troy Bolton.
That's the big thing is that Corbin Blue shows up in Ned's Declassified, and it was the last time there was ever a Disney Channel Nickelodeon crossover because he plays essentially this like guy who's super into Shakespearean acting, and like all the girls fall for him because he's so like dramatic into his role. But the joke is that he doesn't know that he's not in a Shakespearean play, like in real life, like he can't get out of character.
Oh my god.
So they're all like, yeah, he was really cool at first, and then all of a sudden we tried hanging out and he wouldn't stop acting. But that was the last time that ever happened.
So let's talk about our kids' meal corner.
Kids' meal corner
episodes.
The kids' meal corner.
Like, y'all want to hear about the time I cried in Applebee's?
As everything, it got its own Happy Meal toys. in 2010, which included the iCarly Happy Meal, included, well, you could get a customizable dog.
Here, I got a picture for you. So you
laptop. Lip gloss phone.
What? Well, you can choose between a laptop and a dog.
A toy laptop, I should say.
That's kind of underwhelming.
Alejandro, get the laptop.
A 2017 inch Mac. No. a bracelet, an Animate Me, a tote bag, Spencer's Magic Meatball, and a sticker locker.
Spencer's Magic Meatball.
And then in 2011, another set of toys was created.
Oh, really?
Which included the online crowd reactor, gummy bear doodle kit, baby Spencer photo frame.
Can we talk about that for a second?
A bobblehead. And it's also terrifying as all heck.
Terrifying.
So there's the bit like on iCarly of like Baby Spencer, where it's like his head in like a doll,
which haunted me as a
child.
Yeah,
it was creepy. Really did. And so they made a toy out of it at McDonald's,
which is creepier.
I feel like if I got that in a Happy Meal, I'd be like, "I'm sorry, I can't have this. I shouldn't have this. You need to take this back.
Just burn all stock of this that you have."
You see, like I've got like a David Fincher movie style of a guy like setting a fire of a giant pile.
That needs to be the first shot of some movie.
Of the crossover between B movie and cyberpunk. And all this.
Directed by David Fincher. And then a message doggy, iCarly penny bands, stop light, answer light, iCarly stage photo frame, and a gumball sticker dispenser. And I guess we'll post some of these in.
We'll post them on our Twitter and our Instagram. Yeah, for sure.
Beautiful.
But yeah, I think it's cool because this show was definitely like Nickelodeon's biggest sitcom for sure.
And they cashed in on it, definitely.
Oh yeah. I mean, yeah, you talk about video games.
Yeah.
I'm sure there were spin-offs.
Yeah, it was huge and yeah, it really holds up. I'm so glad it's on Netflix.
Which is interesting because a lot of the stars didn't really end up having a lot of success after iCarly to the level of iCarly, because Miranda Cosgrove I think starred in Despicable Me and she like kind of had a music career,
and and both her and Gibby have shown up on the Goldbergs a few times, but that's pretty much
really?
It not in character.
Oh,
more connected universe. But average
just everything is connected to iCarly.
Everything
somehow
is connected. Yeah. It's like the Kevin Bacon game where there's so many ties.
Jeanette McCurdy also had like a music career at some point.
Right.
Yeah.
Even
country,
Gibby
by the
did
way
too.
What?
Yeah.
Gibby. I mean, he still does. It's more like, I think, techno electronic stuff.
Oh, wow.
Average viewership per season was about 7.4 million viewers.
That's
wow. So that's huge. And it was sort of really the last time a Nickelodeon show kind of surprised me in terms of understanding comedy and, you know, the internet culture in general. Mm-hmm. So I'm excited to see what this reboot's going to be.
Oh, yeah.
Talking about the legacy of it, it's funny because this recent show from Disney is like a clone of iCarly.
Oh, what show?
Which one that Jake Paul was in called Bizarre Vark. Which has run for 2 seasons. And then after, you know, he departed famously after... You know, but yeah, so it's funny how like Disney tried to make their own iCarly, and you know how you were talking about that if we could like, what would iCarly now look like? And I think it's kind of that, and it's kind of terrible.
Okay, but so that's just a knockoff of it, rather
it's
than
basically
like
a knockoff. Yeah.
Well, I guess it isn't everyday bro.
And I think they also try to copy that of like bringing YouTube into Disney.
I've worked enough with kids before in like summer camps where it's just like I've heard that song a million times.
I had like physical pain.
Dorian is driving away. Yeah, it is interesting to see what that's going to be. I would like to see actual PearPods.
Ooh, yeah.
And PearPhones. It's interesting looking at the statistics the other day of how many listeners of Mocha Stream Podcast are using a PearPod to listen to the show. Oh, a decent amount.
You know, I'm curious to know if they're going to bring back, like, Galaxy Wars, which is, I'm sure, is like a knockoff of Star Wars.
Yeah. Oh, right. God. Yeah, that's, and then they have the one that Jack Black is in is like a knockoff like Lord of the Rings, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
So, yeah, I don't know. It'd be interesting to see how they go about it, because I know a lot of the people who worked on iCarly are not working on this reboot, so who knows?
Right.
Yeah, it's interesting how this one's going
to
be.
Well, any other thoughts? Any last things to say?
No thoughts, connected just vibes.
I was going to say, who do you guys ship, though? Freddy or Seti?
Really?
That's the episode I start a fan war, is that they, like, get the fans,
yeah,
like, fighting, yeah, each other. Ooh, yeah, good question. Oh, man.
That's what I figured.
I haven't said it.
God?
Is that you?
Choose Seti.
That actually, that voice you just made reminded me of, like, the, what's it called? Like, the flying bra that at some point.
Oh, right. But they do the flying bra, that's right. That's another thing. Disney Channel would never do anything involving, right, any underwear. Yeah, man. iCarly rules.
Yeah, it really does. I ship Spencer and Gibby's mom.
Yeah.
Oh, that was a great episode too.
Well, yeah, Dorian, you are a guest on our show, so you,
I
do,
am,
you,
indeed,
do, you do. I am. This whole time I've been a guest.
Hey, where did this mic come from?
Yeah, so you do get a prize. It's currently in transit, so it's not here. Okay. But you are getting, and I was gonna try to find Sam's remote, but it was like,
no way,
$700 on eBay, so it's not that,
you know, I'm not surprised.
Yeah, it might have been on the real one, I don't know, but it's an iCarly digital camera that you can use. You can tell it holds up to 120 images, so next time you're ever doing a photo shoot,
yes,
hang on guys, I got one more camera coming up.
I hate it already. You know, it's so funny, I actually spent, back when Blockbuster was a thing,
yeah, mm-hmm,
I remember spending my allowance, like, from, I don't know, Tooth Fairy or whatever, I don't know. It was like $20 on like a useless, mm-hmm, digital camera, like, never, yes, worked.
You could use it also as video as well, so it doesn't,
oh,
be photography,
wow,
so you could start it. Maybe it's gonna have a cool vintage look, you know, like they've,
yeah,
been brought.
Yeah, 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 totally. I will definitely be using that in my next film. So watch out guys, this red camera, forget about it. Yes.
With the Sean Baker thing of like, oh, I shot the Tangerine all on an iPhone, it's like, well, I shot the first movie ever on the iCarly digital camera. Oh man,
what a flex.
Awesome. Well, any other last thoughts?
No,
I don't know.
Okay. I think so.
Well, if you like what you heard, hopefully, just follow us on Instagram and Twitter, where it's the handle Most Extreme Pod. And if you have any questions or stories you'd like to tell us, if you're David Archuleta, email us at mostextremepodcast@gmail.com. We will see you next week.
See you later.
Bye-bye.